Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 12. The title of the message this morning is, We Are in a Race. We are in a race. Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 1, says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word at this message this morning, we are in a race. And basically, we see that in your word that this is a race. And so we're looking forward to learning more about that in this morning's message. But Father, I pray this morning, as we need you in every aspect of our life. We need you, I need you right now as I go to preach this message that you've laid on my heart. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified in all of this. I pray that you would get all the glory, honor, and praise, that you would increase and I would decrease, Father, that you would give me the very words to preach that would go out and touch the hearts of the people here today. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us personally this morning, and that we would be not just only hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word, and that we would be willing to hear and to receive and to apply to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As Christians, we are in a race. As we spend our time here on this earth, we are in a race. Why we need to stay in good spiritual shape, right? We need to stay in good spiritual shape as we are nearing the finish line. Yesterday afternoon, we got to spend some time with my father-in-law and enjoyed that. But while we were there, he had the TV on, and they were showing all the people that were flocking past the casket of Queen Elizabeth as they were going through. And they said people were waiting in line, and that line stretched 5 miles. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not walking 5 miles for anyone. This body is not in good enough shape to go 5 miles. But now, some of you might think 5 miles is nothing, and you run that before you even get up in the morning, right? You run 5 miles and think nothing of it. My body isn't one of those. My body is one of those that says, you ought to not think even about doing that. You wouldn't make it the first quarter mile, and you'd be out of breath, and you'd be hunched over, and you'd be gasping for air, and it'd be an ugly sight. But thank God we don't have to be physically in shape to be spiritually in shape, right? We can be spiritually in shape and still be physically out of shape, right? I liked my dad years ago. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you need to get in shape. I'll never forget when he looked at the doctor and said, Doc, round is a shape. Right? Is it not? So anyway, he liked it, and the doctor didn't find it as humorous as my dad did, but my dad was just that kind of guy. But you can be physically out of shape and still be spiritually in shape. And we just need to spend some time making sure we are physically, or spiritually rather, in shape as we are nearing the finish line. The Bible doesn't say that we're supposed to begin this journey faithful. It says we're supposed to be found faithful, right? So as we continue, we need to continue to be faithful. Some people say, well, I started faithful, and I gave up. It just wasn't worth it anymore. I just decided I'm going to sit on the sidelines and let this life just pass me by. How's that working? God wants us to be found faithful. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Good question, huh? All of us as God's children need to be reminded that we are in this race. We are in a race. It's not a sprint that we're in. It's not the 100-yard dash, and it's certainly not a jog through the park, right? We're in a race. The Christian race we are in is not a casual stroll either. Some people think, well, we can be a casual Christian, right? No. That's not what anything of the Word of God tells us. We're not supposed to be just casually dabbling with the Word of God. We're supposed to be applying it to our lives, living it, being in this race. We're in a race that requires absolute dependence upon the One who gives us the endurance to stay in the race. See, if I rely on my own strength and ability, a physical race is going to do me in. I have to rely on God's strength. The same thing with our spiritual walk. We've got to rely on His strength to get us through this. Satan wants everything to mess us up. Satan's waiting. As the Bible tells us, he walks to and fro throughout the entire earth looking, seeking, right? Whom he may devour. Satan's got his eyes on you. He wants to devour you. And God says we're in a race. We need to stay fit. Spiritually fit for this race. We need to stay spiritually fit. So when Satan is out there seeking whom he may devour, we are so spiritually fit, we are so walking with God that Satan flees from us. We need to stay spiritually fit. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations in this life. The only way we're going to get through those is to stay spiritually fit. The exhortation we saw in verse 1 of our text finds its grounds or basis within the examples of the champions that are first mentioned in chapter 11. The champions of the faith that we hear about in, excuse me, they aren't first mentioned there, but they're mentioned as the champions of the faith. It's known as the faith chapter, chapter 11. The heroes of the faith are like a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses can be better understood as referring to those who testify. We're encouraged by these witnesses, right? Can't you be encouraged when you go back and you look at chapter 11 and you see all the heroes of the faith, and you go and you read through all of them and you say, wow, they walked with God. Look at what God did through their lives. Look at God, how God brought them through trials and tribulations and was there with them. And we can see over and over and over the heroes of the faith. We should be encouraged by that. Encouraged by those witnesses. They are not spectators. They are testifying to us. Paul uses the comparison of athletic competition often in his epistles to illustrate to his readers these great truths. In Acts chapter 20, you'll be turning over there, Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks of his own life, his own race. Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 22 through 24. But he speaks of this, his own race and all, and his desire, his heart's desire to face any obstacle or trial in order that he might finish the race that the Lord has called him to run. Verses 22 through 24 says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he knew that they were not running like disciplined athletes. He knew that wasn't what was happening. They had taken their eyes off the finish line. When you're in a race, you have to keep your eyes on the prize, right? You lose focus of the prize, you drop out. You slow down. Some people, they like to start that race like, and they're gone, right? By the time they get further on, they're just exhausted. They need to pace themselves. We're in a race. Folks, do you know when your race ends? I don't know when mine's going to end. I have no idea. I know many times I've said, if I knew my race was going to last this long, I might have been a little nicer to this body, right? I would have maybe not done some of the things I did if I knew it was going to last this long, right? Just one of those things. How much longer is it going to last? I don't know. How much longer are we going to endure this pain and suffering? I don't know. Physically, we might want to give in. But spiritually, we need to be in the race still. We need to decide we're going to not get our eyes off the finish line. That we want to be one of those that runs the race and receives the prize, right? Look at 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 24 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul knew that he must always stay in shape. Always. He must always strive to get stronger spiritually. Are we striving on a regular basis to get stronger spiritually? Are we growing in the Lord? Are we learning things? Or we just decided that the status quo is okay? You know, I read my Bible for years. Why do I need to read it anymore, right? I've been doing that stuff for years. Why do I need to keep doing it? Man, I've prayed for years. Why do I need to keep doing that, right? A lot of people have thrown all those things to the wayside. In other words, they're not looking at getting stronger spiritually. They're just satisfied where they are. I've said many times, and I like when people come in and ask me if I know everything. No, I don't know everything. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know everything. I know some things. When it comes to the Word of God, I know some things. Do I know everything? No. I believe we're going to keep learning all the way up until we take our last breath here, and then we're going to be learning when we sit at the feet of the Savior, learning even more. I'm looking forward to it. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We're going to go to Timothy in a minute, but so if you're getting ready to turn, we'll be going there. So he's running running for the faith. And Paul says, the last thing I want to do is not to keep pressing for the mark. I want to reach the goal. I want to be there. And he wants to continue to be strong. Anybody else? If Paul can say, I have not apprehended, anybody here says they've apprehended? Have you obtained? No. We're still in this race. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're going to look at 2 Timothy in a few moments here, but in Paul's second letter to Timothy, he used the imagery of a soldier, athlete, and farmer as he urged Timothy to be single-minded and keep his passion burning bright for the things of God so that he'd be strong in the grace of the Lord. I like the fact that he's encouraging Timothy. Folks, we need to be encouraging one another to continue with the fight, to stay spiritually strong. We need to be doing that. It's going to be the grace of God and only the grace of God that will empower us to endure hardships without losing hope. There's many people in this world that have lost hope. Things happen. Bad things happen, right? Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people, too. And some will lose hope. I've known people that loved the Lord and served the Lord and did all these things for God. And as soon as tragedy struck their home, they walked away from God. They lost their hope. Folks, we can't lose hope when tragedy comes. It's going to come. It's a matter of when. Not if. It's a matter of when. This sin-cursed world is full of tragedies. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Paul encouraging Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of his fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And then our text, verse Hebrews 12, 1, as we turn back to Hebrews 12, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The weight here refers to that which burdens by weighing a person down. Fred mentioned burdens this morning again. We have these burdens, right? I like when I preached the message. It's been so long ago, I think it was here. But I preached the message on burdens. Did you bring your burdens with you today? We get so burdened and we get so weighed down that we can't do anything. What are we supposed to do with our burdens? Cast them on the Lord, right? Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you, the Bible tells us. So we get so weighed down with these burdens, though. For a runner, the burdens he could have could be clothing, right? Could be weight. Could be different items, but those could be two of them. For the Christian, it would include anything that would hinder his effectiveness for service. Anything. These weights may not necessarily be sinful or even things that are wrong, but for a diligent runner or a faithful Christian, they are a great hindrance that must be removed. We're not allowed to be selective regarding these weights, we must put off every weight. Every weight. Whatever does not aid in the race is a weight, and it must be cast aside. We're in this race. We're in this race. Anybody getting exhausted in the race? Where do you need to go? God says we can pull our strength from Him. So we need strength for this race. The cloud of witnesses that is referred to are those men and women who, faithful souls who went on before us. We know people that have gone on to be with the Lord, right? If you've lived very long at all, you've known people who are strong in the faith that have gone home to be with the Lord. Cloud of witnesses. Not just those who are listed in Hebrews 11, but all those faithful saints that have gone on before. They chose to cling to the Lord. I want to read to you a story about a horrible death. Horrible death because of their belief in Jesus Christ. In 1553, the Roman Catholic Queen Mary, later known as Bloody Mary for her execution of so many reformers. Let me say this too, Fox's Book of Martyrs has much to say about the deaths of countless numbers of Christians back in that time, which is referred to as the Dark Ages. Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury, Nicholas Ridley, Archbishop of London, and Hugh Latimer, Bishop of Worcester, were summoned to appear before a commission in the Church of St. Mary the Virgin in Oxford to be examined for their alleged Protestant heresies. They would not admit to a belief in transubstantiation. The Catholic belief that the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper literally become the body and blood of Jesus, and they were all found guilty. Ridley and Latimer were separated after their condemnation in St. Mary's Church. They had to stay in separate houses as they awaited their execution in 2 weeks. The morning of October 15th, 1555, was just as damp a day as the trial when the two friends met at the stake. Onlookers remarked how stooped and bent the bishops looked as they journeyed through the streets, but how strong and radiant they became when at the stake they removed their outer garments and stood in new white singlets which reached to their feet. Mr. Shipside, a relative of Ridley's, stood in the crowd, and he had asked permission from Lord William of Thame to be allowed to put gunpowder packages around the necks and beneath the arms of the victims. This was granted as a mercy so that they might have a quick ending once the fire took hold. Soon the brushwood was piled up around them, and they stood knee-deep in wood. As the soldier in charge reached out his tapper and lit the brushwood, it began to flare. It was at this point in time that Latimer spoke up and uttered those now famous words, "Be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man, for we shall this day, by God's grace, light such a candle in England as shall never be put out." Within minutes, Latimer was dead, as much from the thickness of the fumes as from the heat of the flames. Ridley, however, was to need all the strength he could get from Latimer's final words to him. He was actually standing on greenwood, which itself was damp, and so refused to catch fire and just smoldered under his feet. After what seemed an age, he called out to Mr. Shipside to do something to help him, as he could stand the agony no longer. All in a fluster, Mr. Shipside piled more wood on, which caused the fire to die down even more, thus prolonging poor Ridley's pain and cooking his feet and legs right through. Soon, however, a soldier pushed through the crowd and used his billhook to make an air hole in the wood pile. This being done, the wind blew, the fire flared, and touched the gunpowder sack around his neck. Thus, in one final blast, Nicholas Ridley went to glory. These people knew what it was like to stand true to their faith, to be spiritually strong. Can you imagine? having to stand there as the fire is fading out, but still hot coals under your feet. Nothing really. And knowing that the end was coming, it was going to be a while. And yet, stay true to his faith. Hebrews 12:1, the latter part says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." A hindrance to a runner is anything that will prevent him from running as fast as he can. Must examine our hearts. All those things that will hold us back. All those things that hold us back from running towards his high calling. The high calling of Jesus Christ upon our lives. Things come into our lives and we let them shipwreck us. We let things take our focus off of God. Can't tell you how many times since COVID started, people have come to me and they've asked me about, how do I stay faithful when all these things are going on? How do I remain looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when all these things are going on? And I said, because your eyes are on the wrong thing. Get your eyes off of these things. Get your eyes riveted on the Savior. And it's going to be so much easier to live in this old world. See, our problem is we get our eyes off Jesus, we get our eyes on all the things going on, and we go, how can it get any worse? Brother Fred brought out this morning, and I'll bring it out again. The Bible tells us things are going to wax worse and worse. Did you notice I didn't say get better and better? No. They're going to wax worse and worse. And we wonder, how much longer can this go on? Do you know, I'm going to tell you right now, God's not sitting on his throne going, gee, I wonder how much longer this is going to go on. God's up there saying this is going to go on just as long as it needs to. And I wonder if God's up there saying, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Right? If they would just do that, how much more do they need to endure to get to that point? I don't know. How much more do we need to endure? Before we realize that that's what it takes to see a revival. Because he says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me just say, November's coming. And a lot of people, Christians involved, are counting on November to turn this thing around. Your trust and faith is in the wrong thing. This thing is only going to turn around when God's people wake up and pay attention and follow through with what God has told them to do. That's when it's going to change. And not before. God has called us to run in an intentional way, with endurance. We're able to persevere because we have a hope. We have a hope, a confidence that our trials have a purpose, and we will experience deliverance. This isn't going to go on forever. We are going to experience deliverance from all of our troubles. One day. One day. Paul wrote to the Romans and told them that they could gain strength by enduring, by understanding the Scriptures and the lives of those who had gone before them. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4, please. Romans 15 and verse 4. Says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I'm going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. As you're turning over there, not only can we gain great strength from these witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, but God can use our struggles to encourage others. Paul wrote to the people of Thessalonica and said in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Our greatest inspiration for persevering is not found in that great crowd of witnesses, what they've suffered, or in the fact that we can be a source of encouragement to others. But our great inspiration is found in the one who endured Calvary's cross. Yeah. The one who went to the cross for our sake, for the sake of every single human being ever born. Every single human being that ever was conceived. Our faith and our hope has to be in Him and Him alone. When we consider what Jesus endured, yeah, for our sins, and how willingly He went to the cross so that we might know the forgiveness of sin, He willingly went to the cross. He suffered the pain for you and I. Yeah. When we realize exactly what He did for us, when we really grasp, I mean, we can say it all day long, right? He went and died on the cross so we could have eternal life. Sounds pretty easy, right? But when we really study out what He went through on that cross, and I'll say the worst thing, not the pierced hands and feet, not the crown of thorns on His head, not the beatings that He took, the worst thing that happened to our Savior was when God the Father turned His back on Him because He could look not on sin. As a child of God, has God ever turned His back on you? No. We don't know what that's like. Jesus did that for us. We consider what He went through. It should encourage us to press on, encourage us to endure and to persevere. Let's throw off everything that would hinder us from running our race and enduring till the end. Because it's a race that God has set before us, and He will give us strength to get through it. But we have to draw on that strength. We have to be spiritually fit for this race. Not easy. But it was easy, everybody'd be doing it, right? God never said it'd be easy. But He said it'd be worth it all. Be worth it all. So no matter what you're going through, keep the hope. Keep enduring. Keep persevering. Continue to grow spiritually. We don't know when this race will be over. So we just got to keep enduring. with hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will get us through. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for Your word. We are in a race. Father, some of us have been in the race a long time. It's easy to get our eyes off the prize, get our eyes on the things of this world. But that's not what You've called us to do. We need to stay focused. We need to not take our eyes off the prize. In the process, we need to get stronger spiritually so we can endure. The way to do that is to draw closer to You, to be in Your Word, to be praying, to be so close to You. As You tell us, if we draw nigh to You, You'll draw nigh to us, and Satan will flee from us. What a blessing that is. So I pray, Father, this day, there's someone in our midst that's never experienced that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that they don't have the hope, that they don't have the strength that they can draw from You. I pray, Father, today would be the day that they would cry out to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and to save them. Father, for those of us who have been in this race for a while, I pray, Father, for each one of us that we would not give up, we would not give in, but that we would remain faithful, that we would endure to the end, because we've been spiritually strengthened in our walk with You. I pray, Father, during this time of invitation, if someone needs to come, they come. Not, we'll close. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.